Please stand. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, on this Life Sunday 2020, we pray that what we have just sung would be true, that we would place our hands on our mouths and listen to you and trust you, and not to the other voices around us, but you and your awesome plan that tells us that each and every life is precious, including the one we see staring back at us in the mirror. In Jesus' comforting and life-affirming name, amen. The word of God for our focus this morning is from John chapter 6, verse 68. Simon Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." This is God's word. What is our theme for this year? Well, that... There we go. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. That is our focus. And that's a wonderful focus for every day of the year, but particularly as we look at life issues, we look at what's going on around us. Now, our text is sort of unique, and it's from, as I just said, John 6, 68. People were trying to leave Jesus because they couldn't understand this thing about eating his body and drinking his blood, because on the surface, at first, that sounds really strange, but we know it's there's power and peace and joy in what the Lord is doing there. But he said, "Are you going to leave too?" And Peter's answer was, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Yes, Jesus has the words of eternal life and also the words of life. These are very important things for us to remember on Life Sunday 2020. It's very crucial when it comes to all of life issues. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, the theme has been changed. And like I said, I've never used as a theme the words of the devil, but did God really say, and then we'll fill in the blank. A lot of the ideas, by the way, have come from Lutherans for Life for us today. May God bless us as we spend a few moments looking at his precious gift of life. It was good. You know what that's a quote of? That's God speaking. That's God speaking at the beginning of time, at creation. This is the Lord's refrain after each of the 6 days of creation. Light and dark, it was good. Land and sea, it was good. Star, moon, and sun, it is good. Birds and fish, plants and animals, it is good. And then there is Adam. Sorry, buddy, this is not picking on you, but the first one, okay? And the Lord looks at him and says, it is not good. We look at you and say, good. But anyway, the Lord looked at Adam and said, it's not good for man to be alone. If creation brings forth and supports life, it is good. Adam alone remains alone. He could have no children, no family. It was not good, not until Eve was created from the rib of Adam, and then it was very good. Then, with the gift of marriage, the promise of children, and the joy of life all set in place, God rests from his work, and the devil gets busy. There's a famous quote from Martin Luther. This is it. When God raises a church, Satan puts up a chapel. In other words, the devil is always ready to work against God and the things of God. And that's important. We need that for our 2020 vision, too, to know that the enemy is out there. That diabolical practice started in Eden. Again, part of our 2020 vision is understanding the origin of things, understanding what started back then. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field, we read in Genesis 3, verse 1. He said to the woman, here it is, did God really say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? What's the devil doing? He's twisting God's words. He said, don't eat of that tree that I tell you. Don't touch it. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do not touch it. And the woman said, we can eat of any of the trees in the garden. But God said, you'll not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, what does the devil do? He deceives, gets them doubting, did God really say? And then he gives an outright lie. You will not surely die. Then he makes it really tempting. This is what he does with sin. For God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. This is not the vision mankind wanted. But it happened. So when Eve saw that it was good to eat, and it looked attractive, she ate some. She gave some to Adam, and he ate it. And then they really had clear vision. They knew sin. They knew disobedience. They hide themselves. They cover themselves with fig leaves. And it all started with that question. Did God really say? And what's the results? Here's another picture of the tempter with the results. There's the serpent. And they got bit big time. And what happens? They hear God walking in the cool of the afternoon. And here's the first example of the tragedy of the fall. They now are afraid of God. There was nothing separating them before, just a perfect relationship. By the way, that's the way it will be in heaven. Perfect relationship with God. No guilt, no shame. Oh, we have so much to look forward to. He continues. God's walking, and he says, where are you, Adam? Adam says, I'm hiding. Why? Because I was afraid, because I'm naked. Who told you? Did you eat from that tree? And what does Adam do? You know the story. That woman you gave me. Remember, it was not good for Adam to be alone. Eve was good for him, and now he's pointing her. Right away, we see sin coming and disrupting lives and coming between people. And what does Eve do? She points to that poor snow. She points to Satan. He did it. And then we have the curse. Yes, they're going to have to work hard. There'll be pain in childbirth, all those things. But Satan, the snake, gets the curse of crawling on the ground from then on. But then, oh, we can't wait for this. Then the promise that the descendant of Satan would bruise the heel of the descendant of Eve. The descendant of Eve would do what? You know what's coming, right? Crush the head of the descendant of Satan, which is the prophecy of what? Right here, what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. But back to that question, did God really say? What a simple and deceitful question. It's like he's saying, did God tell you you shouldn't eat? God didn't say that, they had to eat. What, does he want you to go hungry? No, no, no. Why would he forbid what he has formed you to desire? Oh, there's something that ties into all sorts of sin around us. You know, God has given us lots of things, but in their right time. He hasn't prohibited any of the other animals. They appear to be happier for it, so go ahead. He must mean for you to also enjoy his creation. Yes, God wants us to do that, but he's given us rules for our good. He made it so tasty and attractive. You do have a mouth after all. Your eyeballs and nostrils wouldn't lie to you. Listen to your body. It's natural and normal. And so many of those things are used by Satan for so many other types of sin. Did God really say? Did God really say that you would die? Well, the result is that death came. Ever since Eden, mankind has struggled with God and what he has to say. Did God really say? Did God really say you should have no other gods? Look at the first commandment. Did God really say we should not take his name in vain? Look at the second commandment. Did God really say remember the Sabbath day? Remember to worship him. Remember to be in the word, to honor his word, the third commandment. Did God tell you to honor your father and mother and all others in authority, the fourth commandment? The answer is of course. Did God say, do not commit adultery, do not sin sexually, honor marriage, the sixth commandment? The answer is yes. Did God say, do not steal? And his answer is yes. Did God say, do not bear false witness against your neighbor, commandment number 8, explain things in the kindest way? Of course. Did God say, do not covet? Do not covet things, the ninth commandment. Do not covet people, the tenth commandment? And of course. Did God really say things that apply to today's variations on the Eden rebellion? God really say that marriage is for a lifetime between a man and a woman? What does Scripture say? And God set that up and gave that commandment because He loves us and wanted to protect society and provide for society. God really say that He made two genders, male and female? I can't find any others listed there in Genesis. Can you? Our society is saying, did God really say that? And coming up with all sorts of crazy ideas. Did God really say that He chooses when someone is to die? And not the euthanasia crowd or the death panels they have in some socialist countries. By the way, how many commandments did I just outline? 9. Which one did I miss? 5. Did God really say, thou shalt not kill? The question is, which part of thou shalt not kill do you not understand? God is giving us command to protect life. Some of you were very engaged in that. Some of you are in the medical profession. That's what you're all about, protecting life, saving life. We have 4 little words used by the father of lies since causing the original fall. They've been tripping up the descendants of Adam and Eve for millennia. Did God really say? Man's self-informed or self-deformed answers have caused heartache, suffering, and death ever since. An example, in Iceland and other countries, they are boasting that they have cured Down syndrome. How? You know what Down syndrome was like. I mean, some of the most precious people on this planet are folks with Down syndrome. Some of the neatest people I've encountered and had the joy of being around have Down syndrome. Little Marky. I got to babysit for him when I was in high school. His father was in the Lutheran lay ministry program at Concordia. And I would babysit for him and his sister. And he was such a cute little guy. If he ever started acting up, he just had to go, do, 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 tup, tup, tup. And he would get all bashful and shy and stop whatever he was doing, his naughtiness. Because that's what he said one time when he got upset with his sister, he called Dodo. But such a precious little guy. Then there are others that are much more high-functioning than Marky was. I remember a young man in Sheboygan, one of the most reliable workers at McDonald's, one of the most firm backers of the Packers you could ever meet, and one of the most strong and faithful believers in the Lord Jesus Christ we'd ever meet. So Iceland, what's with your cure for Down syndrome? Abortion. Who says their lives are not valuable? Who says those lives do not have meaning? Today, we mourn the fact that in our country, in the 47 years since legalizing abortion, 61 million precious little ones are not with us. That's more than the populations of California and Florida combined. What do we hear in the gospel lesson? What does our Lord Jesus say? By the way, speaking of the lessons, Eris, thank you so much for reading the lessons today. He's a wounded warrior. The snow got him, and you're here in pain. Thank you for faithfully doing that. But what did we hear in the gospel lesson? I love this picture for many reasons. Let the children come to me, says Jesus. Do not hinder them. Look at Jesus taking the children up in his arms, on his lap, putting his hands on them and blessing them. What's our text again? Oh, one more verse. We know the gospel in a nutshell. Oh, it's not there. Okay. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. God has everything for us for eternity, but also for life on this earth. That's why He gave us the Ten Commandments. He did not give us the Ten Commandments because He's a cosmic killjoy, but because He loves us. Do we need traffic laws? If we didn't have traffic laws, what would it be like? We need God's laws for life too. And that's what the Ten Commandments are and the rest of Scripture. But let's look at some more. We are told that salvation is found in no one else, for there's only one name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus is the one. but they're also words to prepare us for eternal life by directing us today to 1 John 3:16, sort of like John 3:16, but this is the first letter. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. We're back to the cross again, where Jesus did it all for you and your relationship with God in eternity. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters. But if anyone has this world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? That's the one I wanted before. There it is. Goodness sakes, how can we not love people in need? We want to do all that we can for them. We have our Lutheran Human Care and World Relief, a wonderful agency we can help support that does work like this around the world. We had Food for the Poor, another great way to help people in need, and so many other opportunities. But the verse does not end. If anyone has this world goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Next verse. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Our love is to be active out in this world. And by the way, that's the only way that we can respond to those who have opposite opinions, to those who are seeing things in a completely different light. We do it with love and compassion and care. Never legalistically, never in a condemning way. I mean, you can be caring and loving and not, you know, equivocate on your beliefs and not water down your beliefs. It's what the Lord would have us do, because we have a message to share. Jesus talks about the one who said, did God really say with these words? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's what Satan wanted. That's why he said those words to Adam and Eve. Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, life eternal and life today. Who is the most life-affirming person you've ever known? It is Jesus. It is Almighty God who makes life, as we heard in the explanation to that first article of the Apostles' Creed, giving us everything that we have and are, the most life-affirming for all. And we get to be the same way, life-affirming for little babies, life-affirming for those who are not perfect, the little Down syndrome girl there, so precious. Life-affirming for those at the end of life and all the challenges. Life-affirming. I have to stop and do this. Thank you so much, St. Paul's, for being life-affirming, for helping to support us in a place of refuge. What a joy it is to have the baptisms here so many times, to have you supporting the moms and having you encouraging Kristen as she does her work at Refuge House. And thank you for the volunteers we have for Blessed Again who make that wonderful ministry continue in support of a place of refuge. This is our 27th year, APUR 27. It's all about Jesus, who loves all the children of the world. This is our message, that the Lord loves all the children of all ages, everyone. We want to help people understand that. We want to serve them in their needs in any way we can so we can share Jesus with them because he came for all people. What a precious message we have to share, that Jesus does love all the children of the world. This is the truth. We find peace and comfort through all the different children we want to see in the short little time.
Loves the little children of the world.
Jesus really say, hinder them not? Did Jesus really say that? Of course he did. He is the only one we can go for life, eternal life, the only one who really cares about us on this earth. He has a plan. Again, back to the explanation of the first article. Everyone is made special, has precious gifts. Our response is to love and obey him, to serve him. And that's what we get to do. And it starts with simply trusting him and believing that he is our Savior, that he's with us now, that he wants to use us to be his love to people wherever we can, all around the world. May we be filled with this peace, this joy, this comfort of knowing how precious you are to God, and how precious every single person on the face of the earth is to him as well. In his precious, life-affirming and life-saving name, amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace, his joy, his strength, his everything. Amen.